Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
Do you? ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Wasn't a great Tuesday night. Despite our Astros winning 7-3 and just destroying Justin Steele, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But the top story was the Rockets and the lottery pick.
Justin Steele's a real player. It's not an adult entertainer.
Justin Steele.
No.
Like, he's a real player.
No, he's a real person. Yeah, he's a real pitcher. Actually, he was a real good pitcher until last night.
And then something happened.
Yeah. How about he was 6-0 before last night?
Yeah.
With a 1-8-2, and the Astros just put it on him.
But that's National League ball. Like, it's not the same.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of interleague now, so yeah.
Yeah, he got his 6-0 against primarily National League.
Yeah,
that's not real baseball,
and that's not good baseball. Anyway.
No, that's not real baseball.
So the top story for us anyway last night was the Rockets ended up with the 4th pick overall, and it could have been worse. It could have been the 5th. I guess it could have been the 6th. That could have been worse too. That would have been worse, too.
Yeah, but be getting excited. Did you watch it live?
I did.
So me and all my family was literally in the room watching. And
I knew it was going
to.
Once they went to break, I was just like, don't go, don't be forced.
And I was saying, no. I'm yelling at the envelope. And when I saw that R come up and I said a word that Madi doesn't like, I said a phrase that she was not going to like, but I didn't care. Because I was so pissed. The 4th is the worst. I mean, it's the worst. You're out of Scoot. You're out of Brandon Miller. You're out of Wembanyama. It's the worst. Yeah.
Is there any chance, as there is talk, Charlotte doesn't need Scoot. They could use Brandon, obviously, Brandon Miller. But Charlotte doesn't need Scoot. Is there a package you could put together where Charlotte might go, you know what? We'll give up the 2nd 4. We'll give up Brandon Miller. You know, they would have to give up Brandon Miller, and the Rockets would take Brandon Miller too with the 2nd.
You'd have to give him one of your top players, I think.
You'd have to give them. Yeah, you'd have to.
You
give,
would. I mean,
well, you
Brandon
give up
Miller's,
the 4th pick.
Brandon Miller's
you give up the 20th. You give up next year's pick Well, next year's Brooklyn pick anyway. They don't have a pick next year.
You just flip-flop 4-2 and give them, you had to give them like 4-2 and you get a player back and they get Jalen.
You want to give Jalen?
I don't want to, but they're going to say, hey, Brandon Miller's a lot more, the 2 is a lot more valuable than the 4 this year.
So what would, where did you hear that, that this would be the best? What did you tell me this morning, RJ? The best backcourt if they got Amen?
Oh, yeah. So Sam Vincini, I think he's with Sports Illustrated or...
yeah, I saw. Yeah, I've seen Sam Vincini's work before. Go ahead. What did he say?
He said that if this could work out for the Rockets, if they draft Amen Thompson, and if he and Jalen are able to work out and they both hit, this could be the best backcourt in the NBA.
That seems a bit aggressive.
Well, I haven't seen him play. I mean, I know he's G League that night. And
right.
So, is he overtime?
No, he's overtime.
Yeah, he's overtime. So, I know he's overtime. It's the new overtime in G League United where guys who don't want to go to college go play. They get paid earlier.
Yeah.
Although, they do with NIL now. But so, it's a different league. It's not great. It's not great, but it's he's one of the twins, and I don't know. We'll see if he has that kind of ability. If the Rockets view him as such, then I'm sure he'll be a target at 4, and maybe they view that as a very viable selection.
Well, here's Sam Vecenie talking about how Amen, because it looks like it's Amen Thompson. Now, if they keep the pick, I think the favorite is they don't keep the pick, but if they do keep the pick and it's Amen Thompson, here's how he would fit.
They drop 2 spots. I actually think this works out okay for them.
This is good. This though. Is good. Yeah.
Like, I would prefer Scoot Henderson for them, like, for sure. Right. I wonder if they look to potentially try and package, like, a couple of their really young, interesting players to move up to number 2. That's, like, a real thing that you could look to do. I might just take Amen Thompson and pair him with Jalen Green, have the most athletic backcourt in the NBA, have a backcourt that certainly has the most. If both of those guys hit, that is the best backcourt in the NBA. Straight up. If both of those guys reach their ceilings, Jalen Green as a shot maker, Amen Thompson as a defensive playmaker who is an elite transition idea or playmaker who is an incredible rim pressure threat.
Right.
Who can also really make high level passing reads. Wait. If both of those guys hit, that is the best backcourt in the NBA.
Wow. That's saying a lot. You know, is Amen a point guard? Is then Jalen going to be the point guard? Is he 6'7"? I don't know. I will see. I don't know. It's just disappointing. We're trying to put a little bit of a face on it, a little bit of a happy face on it, which is not that easy today, especially when you were thinking,
I'm not
man,
gonna
it could
put
be
any kind of happy be. Face. And half of it is the Rockets didn't get inside the top 3. Like, literally, I was just top 3, please.
No, yeah, right.
Top 3. And as soon as I saw 4, and then for the Spurs, and people on my timeline were saying it's going to be the Spurs. Spurs are going to get it. And I had to go back and say, I had like 4 people say it immediately. At the break when I said, let's go, or whatever, after they went to a break and there's still 4 left, it's going to be Spurs, it's Spurs. And I thought, and all I could think of was, did something leak? How did people know this is going to be the Spurs, especially when it was
because
the Spurs?
Because we have the
it's
worst.
Spurs luck, but I was thinking that.
Not only Spurs luck, but we have the worst luck.
But all I could think of was, when they're saying it's going to be the Spurs, all I could think of was, has this been pre-decided? Something leak?
How many times?
Everybody. They got David Robinson in the tank. They got Tim Duncan in the tank, and now they get Wembanyama. David Robinson was a coveted player coming out. Tim Duncan but Tim Duncan was right there with David Robinson, and you know they got him when Pop came down to start coach. Well, he took over after they were terrible, and then he benefited from the addition of Tim Duncan for, you know, 2 decades. And now Victor Wembanyama, I think about the Rockets' history of having Ralph Sampson, then Hakeem Olajuwon, and Yao Ming, and, you know, some of the Moses Malone. But the Spurs' history is going to end up being from a historical sense, the Spurs are going to be even bigger with Tim Duncan and Wembanyama by themselves. But David Robinson was a phenomenal player. Yeah, right. He was a former MVP.
Yeah, but it took
– They're going to get three Duncan. MVP bigs.
It took – yeah, right. And maybe Hall of Fame. Three Hall of Famers.
Three
we'll
Hall
see.
Of Fame bigs.
We'll see. Dream Shake. I don't know. I didn't see this. Per game averages. His 16 games, Amen Thompson, he had 57% from the field, which is not bad for a, you know – 6.4 rebounds, 6.2 assists, 3.2 turnovers, and he shot 23% from three.
Maybe he's got bad shoulders.
And he shot 65% from the free throw line. That's not.
Maybe he's got bad shoulder. He's
well,
only
what
20.
Do you mean? Maybe he's got a bad shoulder.
Maybe he's.
You haven't seen him play. You
well, we're
seen
talking
him
about that with Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu may be hurt. What if Amen Thompson's hurt?
I hope so. I hope he's hurt shooting 23%.
This is my new thing I do is where I look at stats I don't like say, maybe he's hurt.
Because
then it makes me feel better like, hey, he's actually probably a good shooter if he can just – some of those numbers tell me that his wrist is hurt or he's got an issue with his shoulder or hips or foot, you know, is what those shooting numbers tell me. And when you see free throw and three-pointer bad, that's telling me, okay, he's got bad wrist.
Right.
Carpal tunnel from – And he's on the phone all the time. He's Gen Z, so he's probably on the phone like this. Look, can you curl your wrist up like that?
Yeah, that hurts.
You could easily
get carpal tunnel. That absolutely hurts.
So that's fixable by surgery.
Yeah. Who is this? Anthony Black is the pick. Well, we'll see. Anthony Black, he came a little bit of age this year. He was he's okay. It's all disappointing. Let's face it. It's all disappointing when you're thinking of first Wembanyama and you've got all of the.
Do we want another guy with that's the Jalen.
I know he's
hair.
Got a he's a hair guy.
He had the Jalen hair.
He's got a hair. He's a.
It's
hair
just
guy.
Most of the hair guys aren't great.
No, I know.
They flash, but they don't end up being great.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Is LeBron a hair
it's
guy?
Just so,
no.
Gosh,
is Jordan a hair guy? No.
I was positive.
Tim Duncan
they were
a hair
get
guy?
That
no.
Pick. But now all of the conspiracy theories, they're right. You know what? The Rockets are paying the price for the Daryl Morey stuff that he said about China. Okay, that cost the league all of that. You know, Greg Popovich is so woke. He got paid for being woke.
Is this what it is?
No. That's it. There's no question about that.
Is this yours or did you see that?
Michael Jordan's getting paid. Okay. They wanted to make sure that Dame doesn't leave Portland. So Portland is up there as well. Okay. The Rockets, you know what? Thanks, Daryl Morey, again, for your China thoughts, because that cost the Rockets this a top pick this year. Nice job. Gosh, dang it. Couldn't have turned out worse. Maybe the sixth pick overall would have been worse, I guess. But somebody comes up, maybe then you take Jairus Walker at six.
This hurt even worse.
This hurts worse.
This hurts worse
because
you thought you were there.
Yeah.
I mean, you thought, oh, right, you went to the break thinking you had a shot. And then I'm being serious here. That actually put me in a legitimate bad mood for the rest of the night.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was mad. My wife's like, what's your problem? Because the more I started thinking about it, and then the way ESPN blew it up, Adrian Wojnarowski now, this could really blow up in his face. Some of the comments he made yesterday, the receipts on that are going to be staggering. When this has a chance to be not just the greatest player in the history and the most impactful player in the history. Oh, here's Adrian Wojnarowski now. Listen to this. Listen how strong this comment is. If he doesn't, you don't think this will be used against him if there's foot injuries or if he ends up being super light in the ass and can't, you know, and can't hold up. Listen to Adrian Wojnarowski the way he blew him up yesterday.
This is the most highly anticipated player to ever enter the NBA. And this is maybe not only the greatest prospect in the NBA's history, maybe the greatest prospect in the history of team sports.
Wow.
So
over CJ Stroud. He's saying that over CJ Stroud.
No, listen, he's not. Is this more anticipated than LeBron? Nah, I don't think so.
Ooh, I don't know. I think it's up there.
LeBron.
No, LeBron was in. I think this is equal. I mean, the watch parties for this thing, where Houston had one too. I saw Apollo Media had something. San Antonio? Did you see how packed that place was?
Was there? Did they do that once the fourth pick came up?
No.
They
should have. Because that's what it felt like.
Gosh. It is so. I got out of the car this morning. I was locking my door. Okay. And I just was like,
we didn't. So you know what's different here? With Jordan, you knew Jordan was a really good player. Jordan wasn't even the first pick. So you didn't even know.
He was third.
You never knew that Jordan was going to be Jordan, the greatest of all time. You knew Jordan was a good player.
I was there, and I was like, nice, we're going to get Yeah, that was nice.
No one knew that Jordan. I mean, Dream
But when the Bulls were picking third before that draft, I had no idea if Jordan was going there. I mean, this is before the draft. You know where everybody's going.
Right. Then you have LeBron come, and LeBron had Sports Illustrated, which at the time was a really big deal to be on the cover of Sports Illustrated at that time was considered massive. And ESPN was covering his game, so you knew he was going to be really, really good. And I think a lot of us thought he was going to be one of the greats of all time, but you were still kind of guessing because he was a high school kid, and a lot of high school guys hadn't really panned out as much. So there was still that, you know, you thought he had a chance to be, but you weren't quite positive, but it felt really, really good because he was such a physical freak. Now with Jordan in the backdrop, and with LeBron in the backdrop, you go into this with Victor Wembanyama expecting Jordan and LeBron. So expectations are like that he will be one of the three greatest players to ever play the sport, maybe the greatest to ever play the sport. So the expectations to me are probably the highest. I mean, I don't know that Woj said it out loud and the way he compared it to other sports, but is he wrong? This may be, you know, LeBron, that was – what was crazy about LeBron is he was literally a high schooler who was coming out who had these incredible expectations. This is basically the same thing if you really want to know the truth, but because he's coming from French League. But can you think of anybody that is more highly – like who is the most highly decorated players coming out? Think about it during a break.
Okay.
Come up with some because I want to come up with some too in all the different sports.
Okay, in all the sports. Victor is – there's no question about that. And we'll hear from Victor too on the other side. It was 2:30 in the morning when he found out where he was going.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, well, Windhorst was there.
Yeah.
Did you see the interview? We'll hear from him on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I am talking about the great people – my friends over at T-Box. I love these guys, Daniel and Catherine, and they're unbelievable. They're awesome, awesome, awesome. And they got other, you know, other investors in there, Corey and other guys in there that are just spectacular. But here's the deal is it's just a great concept because our weather is so volatile here. And not only that, all summer long, it's so hot. I know a lot of people don't want to play. I mean, this is great here in January and February because we're outside playing golf while other states, they're all forget about it. I mean, they're snowed under. So, you know, we can play all year long here. But here's the deal is a lot of people don't like to play. And I know you're a hot weather idiot. You hate hot weather. So, I mean, if you want to go and play, you want to get your golf on, a lot of people are like, well, I'm just going to go over to T-Box Texas. And that's awesome because you're inside. It's air conditioned. 8 different bays. You're playing golf courses from all over the world. You can have meetings there. You can have parties there. You can have you can join leagues there. You can teach there. If you're an instructor and you want to go and teach somebody and it's way too hot outside or whatever the case may be, or they're close and this is where you guys want to meet up, it's in League City. You're looking for a great place to play. You're looking for a great place to get your golf on and your drink on and your sports on because they've got all kinds of TVs there. It's a great place. It's T-Box Texas, TeeBoxTexas.com. That's TeeBoxTexas.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Switch it up to the tune that I'm used to. Take it back to the days when it felt like a dream.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I'm watching this video of Spurs fans watching the draft lottery. And from Tom Petrini. It says he's at real Tom Petrini. Like there's another Tom Petrini that you got to worry about. F out of here, Tom Petrini. So
thank God is he verified now that we don't have the blue. Now you have to play.
pay for blue checks. He's going to have to make sure that the fake Tom Petrinis don't start trying to populate his space again.
Yeah, where's the Rockets live reaction? It's awful. This is awful. I mean, the whole thing is just awful. And then and he's going to San Antonio. Where's he gonna find a woman in San Antonio?
Okay. Who?
What, Victor Wembanyama?
Well, Tony Parker found women. They were called teammates' wives.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow. I'm sorry. Did I say something untrue?
Ooh, wow.
I'm sorry. He's French too. Did I say something untrue?
Wow.
I'm praying again. Now I'm going to pray on his. I'm praying on Wembanyama's downfall.
Well, speaking of which,
I'm praying on Wembanyama's downfall now.
France has a special, according to Victor's right. Because of Tony Parker, France has a special relationship with the San Antonio Spurs.
There's a special relation between France and the Spurs because of Tony, of course, and also Boris. And I know half of the country, if not the whole country, wanted the Spurs to have the first pick. So I was looking at everyone, and everyone was happy, so I was too.
Victor Wembanyama.
Do you think Adam Silver asked, where do you want to play? You think behind the scenes he said, listen, you can never tell anyone this. If you do, the ghost of David Stern will come and get you and your family. Wow. Where do you want to play? We'll let you play where you want to play. He said San Antonio because he's a Spurs fan?
No, he didn't. There's no. No, I saw. Did you watch the guy come out with the briefcase and put the stuff down?
He's the only person.
The only person in the history of the world
seen anything other than Adam Silver.
No, well, do you think
David Stern?
Do you think he was back there? Okay. Adam Silver was.
Let me ask you a question: If
changing the cards,
if David Stern was still alive and commissioner, would he? Is he alive?
No,
he died. Right? Yeah. If David Stern was alive and commissioner, would he have been a Spur? Because David Stern might have liked him to be a Spur too, and can carry on the tradition of. And you can't get in trouble.
Not a big
in
enough
San
market.
Antonio.
No.
Not really.
Not a big enough market.
But every market's big enough, isn't it? But it was never, even with the great Spurs, like one of the great dynasties. It was kind of it really wasn't that kind of market.
Nate answered. I was on Channel 26 this morning. Nate asked me an interesting question. He thinks Pop stays around for another 5 years now, and I was like, five's a little bit long for Pop. But let's not forget, he's the guy that when they got Tim Duncan in there, Bob Hill was the head coach, and he said, "Beat it, I'm taking over."
Pop was in the front office.
Yeah, Pop. Yeah, Pop was.
Was in the front office. And Pop goes, "All right, I'll take it from here."
Right.
He didn't hire a coach. Like, I got this.
I got this.
And now we think of Pop as Bill Belichick.
Right. Right. Okay. Most anticipated draft pick ever.
Yeah. Most anticipated prospect ever. I would say LeBron. Ralph Sampson was a monster.
Yeah, it was huge.
Sampson was a monster.
Huge.
We had never seen anything 7'4" who had
that
level
of
athleticism. This is a lot like Ralph Sampson. The idea was whoever got Ralph Sampson was, and that was the Rockets. And then we saw, when he was as good as the dream was way better, but who came the very next year. But, Ralph Sampson was way up there for not having social media and 24-hour sports. Ralph was a monster. And everyone had seen him in college where he had, by the way, failed to come up big in college on a consistent basis. So that was kind of already out there. But I would say Ralph would be in the top five. LeBron would be in the top five. Victor Wembanyama would be in the top five.
It's so funny. It's all basketball because I'm looking at the football number one overall picks. Kyler Murray, not so much.
No, but I think Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence had some juice.
Trevor Lawrence did have some
juice. I wouldn't
juice.
Put him in the top five, but was Andrew Luck
Andrew
more?
Luck.
Was he more than Trevor Lawrence?
Michael Vick.
Yeah, Michael Vick
Michael Vick had a lot of
highly
juice.
Anticipated.
Michael Vick.
There was a lot of excitement
about
Michael
Vick. Can't
say
Peyton Manning because they didn't even know who it was going to be until the day of. Yeah. Because it was between him and Ryan Leaf that was so close. Really, there are not. It's really funny.
It's not as much in football as
not
you think.
Not nearly.
What
about
Bryce
Bo
Harper?
Jackson?
No.
Oh.
Bryce Harper?
Bryce Harper? No. No.
All right, so
although Bryce Harper was a big. He was a big.
Oh, pick. You know what? Yeah. What about Yao Ming?
No, I mean that was
Yao was a huge deal in 2002.
Yep.
Although we had to see if he could really play. Like there was some lingering doubt about Yao Ming because he. But this is another tall. He was even taller, and he was very thin at the time. Not like Wembanyama thin.
Yeah, I would say Herschel Walker, but he went right to the USFL. Too.
Right, he went to the USFL.
But he was a huge. He was huge coming up.
What about Hideo Nomo?
Now
I know it's not a prospect. He had already been in a different league, but do you remember how big that was with Nomo when he came into the league? Now he was only going to be a Dodger.
Yeah, I don't think it's not very, nearly as big as this. Not as big.
Bryce
as this.
Harper was a really big deal, though.
He was a big deal.
Youth baseball does not have the same juice as
no.
Young basketball.
Mm-mm.
Like, you don't know about the baseball guys as much.
Basketball is the most, by far.
Yeah.
By far. For whatever reason, football isn't. Because there's no... Yeah, Trevor Lawrence was a pretty big deal, actually. Trevor Lawrence was a big deal
yep. that I can recall. In the time that I've done draft, he was the biggest.
I think Michael Vick might have been bigger, though.
Well, Michael Vick was coming off a loss, but it was an exciting, exciting loss. And people hadn't seen that kind of quarterback before. I don't know that... I guess we've had a couple quarterbacks that you could maybe compare, but Michael Vick had, generational athletic talent at that position, which was unheard of at the time. So the closest you had come to it would be Randall Cunningham.
Shohei? I'm getting Shohei here? I don't think it was as anticipated. Shohei has turned into a huge phenomenon, but he wasn't a huge phenomenon coming out.
Oh, my God. I can't miss Shohei Ohtani in game one. Now, Nomo had that kind of stuff. With the Dodgers, I remember that excitement level for him. And I do remember it for Yao Ming. Yao Ming was a really, really big deal because, size-wise, he was bigger than Rick Smits at the time. He was a really, really big deal. For the Texans to get Yao Ming and Derek and David Carr in the same year, that was considered a big deal back then.
Yeah. O.J. Simpson coming out was huge. Huge. I mean, that's a while ago, but that's... That was O.J. Simpson, as great as he was, that was a huge deal. And he turned out to be a great player.
Is there a pass rusher?
No. I mean, you can't.
That's considered.
A pass rusher?
Jadeveon Clowney, because he knocked that guy's helmet off.
He did knock a helmet off.
Remember that?
I saw that. I remember. Yeah, I saw that. It was fun.
I've never seen
Myles Garrett?
Nah, but not like this. I mean, this is on a completely different level. Do you have tuberculosis?
I came back from Lake Charles this weekend and just whew.
You caught tuberculosis?
I didn't catch tuberculosis. No, I got my shots. I'm good, but it's been a couple days. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here on ESPN 97. I haven't had a drink. I haven't had one Coors Light in like 3 or 4 days now.
What happened to you?
I got tuberculosis.
Yeah. I knew it.
Yeah. Time to talk for you to talk about something to drink, and it's called Aproximo.
Yeah, it's Aproximo Spirits is the company, the holding company, but it's Maestro Nobel is one of their alcohols, and I know Jake Asman speaks for one of their other spirits, one of the whiskeys, but I talk about Maestro Nobel, and why not? It's a tequila that has 11 generations of tequila makers making it in Tequila, Mexico. This is a brand that really is fine-tuned, and it's a huge deal in Mexico. It's becoming bigger and bigger in the States as more and more people find out about it, and that's one of the reasons I'm telling you about it. We are growing Maestro Nobel because once you have it, we had Spencer call in the other day saying, I did not do it justice, and I think I do it justice. I talk about it being an incredible sipping tequila, a variety of tequilas. It's great for margaritas and your spicy, your smoky margaritas, like your Jumito, which is a smoked silver they have. And yet Spencer thought I didn't do it justice. I want you to go to wherever your local liquor store is, ask if they carry Maestro Nobel. And if they don't, demand they carry Maestro Nobel and experience it for yourself. It's a top shelf tequila without paying ridiculous prices. And you're going to have a tequila that I believe is going to be kept on your shelf moving forward. Even if you like other tequilas, this is one that needs to be in the rotation. It's Maestro Nobel.
ESPN 97.5.
Back to the Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Couple of other thoughts. Tiger Woods. We got people coming in.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods coming
Tiger
out was
for sure
huge.
Was one. Yeah.
Huge.
And that's a golfer, but yeah. He had been. It was you had seen him since he was two or three on Johnny Carson.
No.
So he
Merv
was
Griffin.
Oh, was it Merv Griffin? Griffin? Oh, yeah. I remember seeing him when I was. I remember seeing him on Carson too. But Merv Griffin. Griffin was the first one.
First one, yeah, it was Merv Griffin.
I'm going to assume you're right.
John Elway was huge, but Tiger might be. This might be his
Tiger's
biggest.
Up there.
John Elway was huge coming out as well. He was spectacular. And then he made his play that he wasn't going to the Colts and he was going to the and you hated him for it, even though player gets to decide where he wants to go for a change. Lance hates it because he's such a company man.
What are you talking about?
Okay, that's
we were able to get Victor Wembanyama where he wanted to go. He chose San Antonio, so there you go.
You know what I want to talk about now? I want to talk about our Astros, okay? Enough with, what a terrible.
No, it wasn't Merv Griffin, by the way. It's Mike Douglas show.
Mike Douglas yeah. show. The Mike Douglas show. Yeah, I was wrong, too. Mike Douglas show. Wow, that's old. So, the Astros win it, and they win it in large part because of this right here.
Swanson hits one high and deep to left center field. Jolts all the way back. So is McCormick. Chaz with a jumping catch at the wall. Chaz McCormick takes away extra bases from Swanson with a phenomenal play against the left center field wall.
Here's Dusty now talking about, that was, if you didn't see it, he goes up. It ain't the World Series catch in Philadelphia. But it ain't that far off. You talk about a great catch. Chaz, and then Chaz made a diving catch the other night or the other day in Chicago as well.
Mm-hmm.
Chaz might be the best defensive center fielder.
Chaz is starting to really get some stripes defensively.
Yes, he is. That was unbelievable. That's in just a couple of games. He's made two unbelievable, spectacular catches that the pitchers love. Here's Dusty talking about the catch.
Tremenda jugada para mí. Juego increíble.
But okay. Dusty, I don't think Dusty said that he sounds like that. Here's Dusty.
Oh, it was great. Like I told him, just get the ball in sooner. Might have a double play, you know what I mean? But that was a heck of a catch. And he'd been telling us for 2 years how good a basketball player he was. But that's why I like kids to play other sports because they can time the ball on the wall. They know how to roll in football. And, that was a great indicator of playing other sports. You know how it comes in handy.
That's not the first time Dusty's brought that up. Is that Chaz is apparently he likes to play basketball and Chaz brags on his basketball playing.
So I did Miami Dolphins TV or whatever yesterday, and the guy who was their John Harris or whoever who does their videos and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So every NFL team has, or maybe DP. Every NFL team has a person there who does a lot of videos. And so I did draft stuff for Miami. And the guy, one of the first things he asked me was, you could tell he's a big draft guy. He said, what do teams think? Do teams like the fact when guys play multiple sports? And I said, yes. I said, they do. Number one, they learn hand-eye coordination and foot-eye coordination that they don't have, in other sports. But the other thing is, like, football teams love when cornerbacks and wide receivers have outfield experience. Love, love, love it. Because it's ball tracking.
Track the ball.
And it's a great sense of depth perception and ball tracking. Offensive linemen like basketball background. And then interior defensive and offensive line like wrestling. Wrestling's a really big deal because of leverage. Same thing with Malcolm Rodriguez at linebacker. You like wrestling because you've got strong core and you understand how to play with leverage. Every sport. So when Dusty, these guys all like multi-sport athletes because you learn skill levels that end up crossing over.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the dream was a soccer goalie.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
How much did that help his footwork?
Oh, it's
unbelievable.
Insane.
Unbelievable.
I think basketball, football, baseball, the more I really get to know about soccer over the years, I think soccer is a great sport for athletes at a lot of different, you know, second and shortstops, to have that level of footwork and turning double plays. I could think of it. I could think of every sport how it would benefit if you have good footwork.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Christian Javier pitched last night and six innings, just two hits, one earned run, a home run. He did give up the one bomb to Suzuki, but that was it. That was it for Christian Javier. He hit the ball harder than a little bit harder than you know you think he's good, that he's going to give up give up hits, but he did 88 pitches in six innings. His ERA is down to 3.25 now. He had five strikeouts and two walks. It wasn't a dominant Christian Javier performance, but it was good enough as the Astros just unloaded on Justin Steele. And Justin Steele came in here with a lot of confidence, really, really good.
The offense is waking up.
Yeah, a little bit. Yep.
They just need Chaz back.
I don't know.
Chaz gave Dubon his
well, listen.
Gave him his breath back. And yeah. Here's Corey Jolks again yesterday. And it's the law firm of Jolks, McCormick, and Dubon. It should be Dubon, McCormick, and Jolks. That's the law firm.
Dubon, McCormick, and Jolks. Listen, Chaz went the other way with the double in the big inning. Dubon has got a couple more hits now. I don't know how, when Altuve comes back, you got to keep Dubon in the lineup.
Stop maybe saying he goes that out
to,
loud.
No, maybe he goes to center field, even though look how McCormick is playing in center.
You don't
maybe McCormick DH is now.
No, you got to keep him in. Who would you rather have Jordan defensively? Well,
Jordan wants to play the outfield.
But who would you rather have defensively, Chaz or Dubon in center field?
Dusty's going to put Dubon out there a lot. He is.
Over Chaz? We just got done talking about Chaz's defense.
Really? Because when Justin Verlander pitched last year, Dubon was the center fielder every time. He was his personal center fielder.
And Justin Verlander's getting booed now.
Well, I know Justin. Well, so not as bad as care? Trevor Bauer's getting booed now.
Yeah.
All you Trevor Bauer wanters. How's that taste?
They don't boo it. I don't think they boo in Japanese baseball.
No, they bow. They just say, thank you, Trevor. Thank you.
I don't know if they're thanking him.
No. Take out that sword sheath you're doing?
Yeah.
Take it
put
out.
Put it back in.
Yeah. But not only put it back.
Leave it in.
Yeah.
No, not Harikari.
Well, I mean.
You just made the move. He's just had two bad starts.
No, he's had multiple. I mean, more than that now.
Has it been more?
It's really bad. It's really bad. Anyway, the offense does seem to be coming together.
No, it is.
Yeah. And, did you like David Hensley pinch hitting for Jose Abreu last night? That was different. That was something
unexpected.
Unexpected.
Especially
when the 135 hitters pinch hitting for the 219 hitter. For whatever reason, he pulled Jose Abreu late for whatever reason. Anyway, the fact of the matter is the Astros are starting.
You didn't think about it though. Like the first thing I thought is I wonder if he is injured.
Yeah.
Why would you pull him?
To give him a break. He looked bad. He looked bad again last night. You think he could put a couple of games
it's
together.
It's just a Tuesday. Why don't you let him have his last at bat?
I know, but maybe he's just like, come here, sit down. It's a bad night. Let's not do any more damage tonight. Just David, get up there. Let Jose sit for the rest of the game. I mean, I don't know what the deal is with him, but he is. It's so. I thought maybe yesterday or Monday would be a catalyst for him to start taking off, and he looked even worse last night. 713-7803. Victor Wembanyama is calling us right now. Let's get Victor Wembanyama in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, Victor.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes.
Victor?
Oh, no, it was Carlos.
Oh, hey, Carlos. I thought it was...
I was actually calling to say that everyone's talking about Victor being an alien and prospect, but what is Jokic doing right now? I mean, this dude is going to average a triple-double to go win the championship?
Oh, no, Jokic
is... alien already.
Yeah, Jokic is...
Wait a minute.
But he's
what do you mean he's an alien?
Well, I think he means it in a complimentary way.
Like I've been reading on the internet, everyone says, like, over the past few years, they've been calling certain players generational prospects. They're saying Victor's a level above that he's an alien. I'm saying Jokic is already an alien in the NBA.
Alien is a new term, John. It's
a foreigner.
Alien means something that this world has never actually seen.
Like a foreigner.
No. alien, like space form, like not even from this planet.
Oh,
not even from this planet.
Is Jokic? So you think Jokic might be an alien too? Okay, all right.
Well, you was tell Dirk me, Johnny, an alien? What 31, 21, and 14? What I look 14? At is
wait a minute. He's an alien. Hold on. Look at all the foreign players. You know, he isn't it. He's going to be an alien. He's going to be. He's a
that.
Foreigner that comes here and plays. Like Jokic, like Dirk, now Victor.
You're using
we got
it wrong.
All cut. No,
you're using it wrong. Alien from a different planet. You have never seen. This is what the kids are saying. He's an alien. This is a new term above generational. It's,
okay, so
you have to always find something that's
above,
higher than.
Higher. Okay.
When elite
goat
when
goat elite, is no more.
When
goat.
Elite was used for like you know, Joe Flacco.
Well,
or whatever, because he won a super. When the word elite, like, wow, did well, see, we diminish this word?
See, when I remember when people were saying, okay, we're using great
way too much.
Way too much.
And then they said, not exactly. How about elite? Then it turned to goat. Then it was generational.
Yes.
Everything is, and this guy is a generational.
And now it's alien?
Wide receiver. What? Yeah, now it's wait, alien.
But generational was just a couple of years ago. How fast are we moving up?
Generational is like it should be every generation. So, you know, it's like 20 years. It takes you about 20 years for a new generation. That's a generational talent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but really, when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, so there'd only be four of them in 80 years. That's basketball. A generational talent. LeBron and Michael Jordan are both generational talents to me. You don't use it. You use it so sparingly. Now it gets used just all the time. And Victor Wembanyama, here we are 20 years later, and he looks like he has a chance to be another generational talent. Mainly because he, if you think about
it's generational or alien, which one? You got to
well,
be
well, no, but that's what
I
I'm
just
saying.
Heard he's an alien.
No, but I say generational talent, but I don't usually go as, I don't shoot as high as the other. Like, yes, he's more alien. Like, if you had to put him in the silos, he's going to be more alien than generational.
Oh, gotcha. That's just, I'm lost because I thought he meant he was a foreigner coming to our country and trying to take over the country like Jokic is.
Like, you mean when Jokic came and took some jobs away from Americans?
Yes, yes.
At the center position?
Yes, yes, like that. 744.
He took our jobs.
744, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, by the way, Kendrick Perkins, great job taking the MVP away from Jokic.
Yep.
I mean, Joel Embiid literally slinks into a corner and Jokic puts up one of the most insane triple doubles in the playoffs we've ever seen against a high level defender. This is a joke. The idea, when we come back, well, let's get some phone calls in.
Yep.
But when we come back, I want to address this idea that certain basketball intelligentsia decided that Jokic can't have three in a row because that's only safe for special people. What do you think you're watching? You're watching a I know it doesn't look like it's the package that you're used to seeing special talent in.
The other side, you said. Let's talk about kinetics first.
IQC kinetics. Listen, so a lot of people have injuries that won't go away. And, in fact, they get worse. And sometimes it's based on a high school injury, something you had in a pickup basketball game. Maybe it's just some, you know, you fell down and got hurt and it got worse and worse and you didn't go get it fixed. You didn't go get it looked at. You didn't go to physical therapy, whatever the case may be. And sometimes it's just generally wear and tear. But when you have that pain that won't go away and you have to start living with that pain, man, it is a big, big problem because what happens is you really have to figure out what you're going to do about living with the pain and managing the pain. For some people, it turns into drugs and pain medicine, which can lead to addiction and worse. For some people, it's you start getting steroid injections, which will last for a few months, and then you're back on your own again, and it hasn't done anything. Then you turn to surgery, which leads to downtime, more pain medicine. I'm just telling you this. When it comes to pain reduction and getting back to being the real you, biological, all-natural biological regenerative therapies are the way to go. It's the body's healing power concentrated and put back into the joint. And this is why professional athletes are using this and why so many people around the country, including my wife, are using this now because it has a big impact on your ability to reduce pain, reduce inflammation, and get back mobility and get back activity level. Make sure that you go to the website qckinetics.com, and this is an incredible opportunity for you. Call 713-913-5285.
Well, hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, break the game down for us, RJ, last night.
Well, Lakers got punched in the mouth early. Nikola Jokic had a masterful performance, in my opinion, against the LA Lakers. It was a tale of two halves for LA, down by as many as 21. Then you make the comeback, and you know it's Austin Reeves, and the others. D'Angelo Russell had a horrible performance and stayed after the game to get some shots up. I'm not worried, but it almost felt like the Lakers in that first half were calling each other on the phone and saying, "We played a day? Ah, damn, man."
I mean, it was unbelievable. They got jumped on so early, and then it was absolutely over. But it wasn't over. I can't believe that they closed it. I went outside to have a talk with John Daswood about some NIL stuff. I come back in, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? How did this happen? And my son, it was six, and my son says, oh, no, it was three a while ago, and LeBron missed a shot. Like, you have no idea how close this came. But, no, actually, I think there's a couple stories that developed. One of them was that I think the Lakers made a comeback, and you kind of, to me, you erased the potential damage and confidence that game one could have been. I think you actually end up coming out of there with okay confidence. It could have been a lot worse after that, but it wasn't. And the final score actually may have been a moral victory for the Lakers. Jokic's game was incredible. So historically, you know, there's a basketball gatekeepers who believe that it shouldn't be like Jokic shouldn't be one of the guys who wins three consecutive MVPs in the NBA. That's just not historically fair. And to that, I say, okay, but was he the MVP? And for most of the year, people were saying he was. Larry Bird is the most recent player to win three straight MVPs. It's Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, and Bill Russell. So when people look at that, the argument has been, well, come on. You can't put Jokic in there. He can't win three straight.
Well,
that's ridiculous.
Jokic is playing against a bunch of plumbers.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what
I'm
saying?
There's a bunch of plumbers like Anthony Davis. Yeah. But the argument
he's a plumber that doesn't work. He's sitting at home.
Yeah.
Okay. He ain't out plumbing.
Billy Brown and our friends over at Aqueduct get there way earlier
way
than
faster.
Anthony Davis will. But you know the argument that you can't have him there because that's Larry Bird and Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell. Well, what if we're watching that guy? Like, I think we're probably watching that guy. So the idea, if there are voters who voted because of that and voted thinking, well, historically, he doesn't deserve to be one of the top three. You can't put him in there. He's in the middle of his prime. He can end up winning a title this year, for example. What if you look back and think, because I think people are going to look back at this. And look, let's be real. Let's not rewrite history. Embiid was incredible this regular season. He really was. And so was Jokic. But the argument that you couldn't vote Jokic because of, first of all, Kendrick Perkins' argument was the lamest, weak as water argument you could make. Trying to inject race into it was soft as sugar. But Jokic is just a special player. He's a special big. We're playing in an era right now where there's some really good bigs for the first time in a long time. But the idea, the audacity to say that you can't make a guy a back-to-back MVP winner when the reality is, that's just what's going on. If you look at when Steve Nash won the MVP and you take yourself back there and you recognize people struggle with Steve Nash winning two and Kobe winning one. Guess what? Hakeem Olajuwon won one. Did Kobe win any? Yeah, he did 1-1. Olajuwon 1-1. It depends on the era you play in, and it depends on and Nash, you have to re-educate people on. That was unusual. To Mike D'Antoni's offense was highly unusual back then. So the assist numbers were very high back then. We've been desensitized to numbers. Seeing a guy average 11 assists is no big deal now. We've been desensitized. It used to be 8.5, 9 assists was a ton in basketball, was a lot to average in basketball.
The funny thing to me is Kendrick Perkins didn't – he brings up, you know, Nash, and he brings up, I believe, what, Dirk won back-to-back? But he doesn't bring up the fact Tim Duncan won back-to-back.
Right.
Tim Duncan was a back-to-back NBA. To your point, I mean, the offense that Steve Nash was in and, you know, Shaq and Kenny and the guys when they were doing a round table as, was he an MVP because of himself being a player, or was it the offense that made Steve Nash an MVP? And it's a pretty, you know.
What should be talked about is shooting 50 from field, 40 from three, 90 from free throw is also a special.
Absolutely.
It's a special thing, too. That, and Steve Nash did that actually a lot.
Absolutely. I understand the argument that Shaq and Charles were trying
but
to
I
make.
Think, where, I think the offense helped them.
Where they were trying to say, if it was the offense. But, I mean, Tim Duncan was also back-to-back as well. I mean, seeing Jokic yesterday against the Lakers, I said, that's the MVP
that's
of the league.
MVP, yeah. And that's the problem with making a decision based on what you think – what you think sports history is going to be. This is the dumbest thing in the world. Yep. We're in the middle of sports history. And you say, well, you can't. Historically, he's not Bird. Or, dude, he's in the middle of his career doing things that Wilt Chamberlain, he's literally doing Wilt Chamberlain stuff. Right. So for you to say, well, we can't put him in the Wilt Chamberlain, he's in the Wilt Chamberlain conversation already. What, you don't have to like his body type, the way he looks, his where he comes from or whatever. If he's not your package of what you think it's supposed to look like, dominant, if he didn't have a face or a body, if you couldn't see him and you just saw the numbers roll in on a screen, on a simulation, you'd be like, oh my God, this guy is an alien. Dare I say an alien, John?
Ooh.
Look at the numbers that he puts up. And yet the argument that, oh, you can't put him with, in 10 years, we may very well look at Jokic as one of the greatest players that ever played the sport. He's on pace right now. I know it's uncomfortable for people to think, but go look at your favorite player, whoever it is, and go look at how Jokic compares to your favorite player of all time. Jordan, LeBron, Steph, whoever you want. Go look at his numbers across the board, and he's winning. The only thing that he's shallow, the only thing that he's light in is he's now in a Western Conference Finals. He now needs to get to an NBA Finals, and at some point he's going to need to win a ring.
You know what? I mean, look at how the game has changed. Remember, we said, well, it's not a big man's game anymore. Really? Because look at these MVPs and look at how they're playing. Look at them advancing. Look at the when you have a great big man. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed in baseball either. I don't hear, oh, it's a power game. No, if you're Tony Gwynn or you're Rod Carew, you're going to be a Hall of Famer regardless. In this era or whatever era, if you're a great player, Jokic is a great player. And he's a big man. And you know what? One of the things is, oh, well, it's not a big man's
highly
game anymore.
Skilled. Highly skilled.
No, no.
He's not an explosive athlete, but he is highly skilled.
And, oh, by the way, maybe he's playing it. Well, since it's not an era of big men anymore, he's playing against lesser big men, which makes him even better because he's unbelievable. Now, there's a lot of tall guys. Anthony Davis. I heard before this, Anthony Davis such a great – Jokic isn't going to be able to do what he does against Anthony Davis.
He's given Jokic problems in the past, but that shows Jokic's greatness because he's able to come up and look what he does. He takes his toughest competition. This is what Dream would have done.
Yeah.
Dream faced off against the MVP and David Robinson and David Robinson forever will be known as the guy who couldn't hold Dream's pockets.
Yep.
That's how he's going to be known, despite that dude was a great player and had a great season. And guess what? Great players like Dream step up and show you, no, you got my MVP. You know what Jokic has done? Basically said, you gave the wrong guy the MVP. You guys really screwed this up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the guy, and I mean, Joel Embiid just played completely into the stereotype of what people think about him, which is kind of a front-running player who will sink a little bit. He's had a little bit of that in his, like James has already cemented his legacy. Embiid's had some of that too, that when the going gets tough, he kind of shrinks a little bit, that he's a great front-runner. It really hurt him this year. And then when you top it off with the other guy, playing so much better and showing that he could rise to the occasion against great competition and Anthony Davis, who's playing great right now. man, does that make does that make Embiid look? People realize Bomani Jones came right out after Embiid sunk and said, "Man, we may have picked, we may have the wrong one on this one."
Well, yeah, and especially after what he said afterwards too, that me and James can't do it alone, dude. You were 4 of 18 or 5 of 18, whatever you were.
Stop putting other people in this.
Oh, my God.
That's another thing. Jokic is a big, like, he always, what is it? Not demure.
He defers.
Defers to teammates.
Yep.
He defers to teammates. Embiid is throws people. He threw, right away, the Ben Simmons things we all thought was funny, but that's a guy basically just.
It's a teammate you threw under the bus.
This is a consistent. Yep. It's a consistent thing for him.
Absolutely. Time to talk about my man Doc Linville, and time to talk about hair. Time to talk about your hair. If it's that hairline is receding, if that bald spot's getting bigger in the back, if you're mangy like I was with all kinds of holes in the top of your head, and you're just like, this is just terrible. It's just awful. I can't do this anymore. How about Doc Linville? Doc Linville also, I mean, he's got an anesthetic now that lasts for 3 days. So any kind of residual pain that you might feel from the neo-grafting, it's not going to be there because it was minimal with the anesthesia that he used when I did it, and it's going to be even less painful when you do it. It's just a great process. It's not like if there's not cutting like the other process and the nerve damage and everything else and the scars that are left behind. None of that with neo-grafting. And oh, by the way, you do the PRP as well, where he can stimulate your blood and stimulate that hair growth in the top of your head. Might not even have to do the neo-grafting. Find out for yourself. The doc will tell you what's best for you at 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.